Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well then, Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty, gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials. So stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
Hey, Danger Dangers here with a special Halloween announcement. Part 1 of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Table Talk, a show where I chat with other creators in the TTRPG space about how they run their tables. I'm Danger Dan Jers, the GM and host of D&D Dark, and joining us at the table today is creative director of the New Age Geeks channel and host of the show, Goodberry Cafe, Jem. Hello, Jem.
Hi.
So, just to get things started and kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about the New Age Geeks channel in general and, of course, about your show, Goodberry Cafe?
Sure. So, the New Age Geeks channel is our Twitch channel that we've been running since 2022. So, I've been there since our first stream, really. We started with just one show, and that was Forging Fates, which is the show that I was cast for. Which is an actual play D&D show set in the Critical Role world of Exandria. Then we expanded from there. We had a couple different shows over the past 2 years, but right now we have three long-running campaigns. We have Forging Fates. We have Queer in Present Danger, which is our all-queer cast that is run by DM Cece. And then we have Spell Shots, which is a episodic homebrew world run by Jeremy DeChant. We also have an interview show called Investigation Check that's run by Joe, who's the founder of the channel, and my show, which is Goodberry Cafe. Goodberry Cafe has been through a lot of iterations since it started. They wanted an interview show at the time. So one of the members who's no longer on the channel wanted to do this show called Dicey Conversations. And in my day-to-day job, I'm a talent acquisition professional. So I interview for a living. And he wanted a co-host. And he's like, you seem like you're comfortable on the camera and comfortable talking to people. Will you be my co-host for this show? I was like, sure. Because when I'm really into something, I get really into it. I'm very involved and invested, and I want to make it the best I can make it. And
I can relate to that big time.
Yeah. New Age Geeks was the first Twitch channel I was ever a part of. So I said yes to being a part of that show, and we had one episode, and then the co-host had to leave the channel, had too much going on in his personal life. And I was asked, do you want to continue the show? And I was like, sure, but I want to make it my own. So I changed it to Goodberry Cafe. I wanted it to be a warm, safe, and inviting space for guests to come in and talk to me and feel comfortable sharing their dreams and their origin stories and all of the things that they're passionate about with me. But about a year into doing that, I realized I was doing a lot of interviewing because my full-time job was interviewing and I wasn't really enjoying interviewing. It was great and I was meeting a lot of great people, so don't get me wrong, but I was just a lot of interviewing in my life at the time.
I completely understand that.
So I switched it up a little bit. At the time, it was still in the pandemic, and during the pandemic, I had bought a bundle on itch.io, the bundle for racial justice and equality, and it had so many games in it. And I wanted to play all these games, but I didn't have an excuse to play any of these games. And in my vision for what Goodberry Cafe, if it was a real place, would be, it's like the warm lighting. You see it at the end of the street, light music coming out of the open door every time it opens. And it's a very inviting and welcoming space. So at the time, it was just conversations. But in my head, I was like, what's stopping you from playing games at the cafe? So a year in, I kind of rebranded a little bit and decided to make it a show where every month I invite a new cast to join me at the table to try out weird, unique, funny, or very different indie one-shot TTRPG games. And I want to make it a purposefully inclusive and safe space for all of us to make mistakes. So we all, every time we've played, it's no one has been familiar with that game already. So we read it beforehand, but we're all figuring it out together. And I preface that at the start of my show every time that we're going to go through the rules together and we might not understand everything. And we're going to talk through it as a group at the table. But we want to share these cool, fun indie TTRPG games with our audience, as well as learn it ourselves and have some fun and make new friends.
Having a more experimental platform where you can discover and try out those other systems and everything is fantastic. That is, for a lot of the bonus content that we do on D&D Dark, it is kind of my excuse to try out non-D&D systems. And we've learned a ton from hopping around a bunch of different stuff. We've still mostly just done mainstream things, but I admire how much of the focus of Goodberry Cafe is on smaller scale independent TTRPGs. Like, kind of scrolling through the backlog of your episodes that are archived on the New Age Geeks YouTube channel, there's some names that I recognize, some that I don't, in terms of the games that you've popped around and played. Do you have any that particularly stand out to you as some of your favorites that you've done? Like, any real shining gems of systems that you've played for the show?
Yes, definitely. My first one that comes to my head is one called Before the Storm. Once I read the intro for this game, I was itching to play it for months, and I couldn't convince people to play it with me until a couple months ago. It was earlier this year that I finally got a group to play this game. So it's a narrative game. It is in an anthology of narrative games. It's a book that you actually have to buy the book online. It's not available for free, but it's so worth it. Every game in the Seven Wonders anthology is so good. But Before the Storm, you play as a party that is at a campfire at the castle, which is the last stand against this oncoming force that is going to take the castle that next morning. You're going to have that last battle. So this oncoming like enemy has already taken over the rest of the country, the rest of the nation. And you are a group of heroes. You've been fighting together for a while, and you're at this campfire the night before the battle, right before the storm. And you use this like flashback mechanism to figure out how you all know each other, what your history was together, and resolve like any lingering things with your party. It was such a unique mechanism and powerful. There were tears in that session. It was so emotional and moving. What a wonderful game.
That sounds amazing. So kind of jumping off of that, do you find that more narrative-driven stories and games are what you're drawn to? Because I know that there's a little bit of a divide between the way that a lot of these systems are set up, where some of them are much more gameplay and mechanics focused, some that are much more crunchy and numbers based, and a lot of others that are, for lack of a better word, sort of like theater games, where you're given a prompt to role play off of each other in a very loose setting. Do you find you're more drawn to those types of more narrative and characterization focused games?
I think so. I personally don't like the crunchy stat type of games in general. Before the Storm had mechanics, which was really cool for it. But I've played the gamut of different systems, and I found super crunchy, super complicated stats and numbers overcomplicates a one shot. It might be better for a more longer form game, but like if it's meant to be done in one session, it's a little too much for me. But the theater games sometimes are also a little too loose and too free flowing for me. So I like leaning more towards the heavy roleplay aspect and narrative driven, but I like a little bit of mechanics, a little bit of still dice rolling and stats, or at least some sort of card mechanic. Before the Storm had a deck of cards that it used to help tell the story. So I need a little bit there. I've played all of it, but my favorites fall in that area.
So bringing up the card-based mechanic, are there any really unique like twists on gameplay that you've seen from these one-shots that you've been doing that stick out in your mind as like, that is a really cool, unique idea and take on this thing that I want to scoop up and drop down in other games and take inspiration from? So like using the card-based storytelling, for example, from some of the games that I've played, I've done D&D, Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu. I'm in the middle of doing a game in the Alien TTRPG, and I've done a couple of like the Grant Howitt one-shots.
Love him.
As an example of like kind of what I'm going for mechanics-wise, in the Alien TTRPG system, they've got the stress mechanic, which I really like and want to do some kind of spin on in future bigger games, which for any listeners who are unfamiliar with the system, essentially the way that that works is the Alien TTRPG, you roll exclusively using six-sided dice, D6s. If you fail a given roll, you can choose to push the roll, roll it again, and you accumulate separate stress dice, which can aid your chances for success. But with those stress dice, if they ever come up as a one, you roll for negative effects on a panic table. So you become slightly more dialed in with your stress as the adrenaline is pumping to be a little bit better at what you're doing, but with an ever-increasing possibility of negative drawbacks. So I really love mechanics like that that do like a risk-reward system. Is there anything like the stress mechanic that you've come across in any of the games that you're playing that jump out at you as particularly unique and like things that you really loved and wanted to like expand upon?
I'm trying to think. I know a lot of my games that I've played don't have any form of like HP or status tracking, which I thought has been like a really unique way of approaching games. I'm not sure I've seen anything that I would want to take back into other games yet beyond not so much mechanic wise, but I played this game called, I believe it was Killer Ratings, where you were pretty much making a horror movie. But the way that they wrote it out and divided things by scenes, I think was such a wonderful way to help a DM approach a session or an arc. And the way it just broke it down so clearly. I personally have only DM'd a couple of times, but I remember saving that game and being like, this is how I'm going to help plan a session in the future, because it had such a good breakdown of how an action would go through like an episode of a show or a horror show.
Framing devices like that can be such a great way to draw inspiration from. It makes me think of not a game that I've played, but one of the other podcasts that I've interviewed, Dread and Breakfast, who I've collaborated with a couple of times. One of their episodes that they put out that was in between seasons was they did a playtest of an upcoming 1-2 player RPG called, I believe it's Tangled Blessings, which, if I remember correctly, it's a journal-based 1-2 player TTRPG that is based on developing a story around tarot cards.
Mm.
Rather than rolling dice for anything, you've got basically your framing device of, I think it's, if I remember correctly, I could be butchering this, but it's essentially like a magical academy, a Harry Potter type situation where you're in a school for magic and the events of your year are tracked out by tarot card pulls. And so you set up your character, you set up your relationship with the other player, and you go through and plot out and journal out the events of your years at this magical academy based on information that you get from drawing tarot cards.
Love that.
With games like that, I love the unique twist on drawing inspiration and like using stuff like that as a launch pad to come up with these new, cool, creative stories. To kind of circle back around to Goodberry Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to design a game for the purposes of being played on Goodberry Cafe, what would your perfect game look like if you wanted to like mix and match certain things that you've taken from some of the different games that you've played?
So I would start by making it GMless. I actually first heard of GMless games through my second ever interview on Goodberry Cafe when it was an interview show. I was interviewing my friend Hector, who does SCA. He's a game writer and he loves playing TTRPG games. And he talked to me about his experience playing a GMless game. And at the time, I didn't even know that was possible. Like, how do you play a game without a game master? And I've since played a lot of GMless games since switching over to Goodberry Cafe. And I personally don't really enjoy GMing that much because I overstress myself out. I'm an overpreparer and then I lose the fun. But GMless, where each person is taking a turn, adding things to the world, or you have like a rotating narrator, depending on the scene, I would want that in my game. So each person has a chance to exert that GM exercise, but you can also still role play and be a part of the world. And I think when each player is adding a new element to the setting, it's definitely a more elaborate and more rich and involved setting. I think my game would have some sort of character building, like not a preset character, but I personally love personalizing a character and coming up, even for a one shot, I come up with a backstory just to help my role play. I think I would keep it to simple mechanics or simple stats, but I definitely still want dice rolls because I think the dice help tell a story and I don't want it just to be based on my narrative as to what happens. I want some bit of randomness thrown in there. And I think for my ideal game, the concept would be either something like super ridiculous or wild. Like I've played some really great wild games. Those are also my favorites. The ones that are just like really random. You are a big motherfucking crab trucker. It's one of the best. Just one of the funniest games I've ever played. So I would either want a really ridiculous concept like that to play with or something that is really emotionally investing and that would really challenge the players to enter this space that could end up heavy depending on how the gameplay happens. And I would incorporate safety tools 100% into my game.
Very important. Definitely an aspect of TTRPGs that I wish I had discovered sooner. It was a concept that I was just completely unfamiliar with when I first started out, which partially because my introduction to TTRPGs was Grant Howitt's Honey Heist. So I've played a couple of the Grant Howitt one-shots. Specifically, that one was where I cut my teeth on. I loved the experience so much that I played it with a couple of different groups, replicated it in like a couple of slightly different twists on the setting. And that gave me the hunger and the itch for more complex role-playing games. So kind of coming in from that way, the idea of safety tools was something that just had never even occurred to me and was not something in my frame of reference when I started playing things like D&D. Uh-huh. It's something that we, since kind of coming across and since having that wider discussion with the players, have been implementing more and more. And it's a thing that I'm really latching onto now as like a thing that is incredibly important and useful mm-hmm. as a GM or as a table. Knowing where the lines are and the limitations are, I find has encouraged me to have actually more intense and more mm-hmm. darker stories, more fulfilling stories, more engaging stories, knowing, okay, I can't go there, but this is on the table and this would have never occurred to me without getting that explicit big thumbs up. So I'm going to lean super hard this way. And it's kind of hard to talk about in the abstract, but you understand.
Yeah, definitely. I think it also helps just more people who otherwise would, I think, be nervous to play or role play or join the table to feel like, oh, I know I'm going to be safe here. And so it allows more faces at the table in general.
Absolutely. And it's also a thing, too, of it can be hard to know what questions to ask when you're just starting out. I was recently doing a stream with my sister and somebody was asking a bunch of D&D questions and somebody brought up being nervous about approaching a table with a game already in progress and not really knowing because they had bad experiences before. How to approach this? How do I know if this will be good and comfortable? And from the discussion and talking about from the safety tools, one of the things that popped up in the conversation was doing just a general Google search of RPG consent checklists, even if you are jumping into a game already in progress, if they've already agreed that certain things are and aren't off the table, if it's a table that hasn't been really implementing them before, just looking up that checklist gives you a really good baseline of knowing what questions to even ask about. seeing them laid out like that really opens up a lot of discussion and can be a really good litmus test for if a new group you're jumping into is the right one for you, knowing, oh, I hadn't even considered that this category of thing would be a possibility in like list of horror tropes, for example. Oh, I guess I am really discomforted by the concept of cannibalism, so I should ask in this horror game if this is going to be a thing. I'm super comfortable with doing things with, like, blood and gore. I do haunted house stuff all the time, so I'm not even worried about that. But things like demonic possession really ick me out, so I want to know going in if there's going to be any kind of loss of agency, just as examples. So, yeah, absolutely. Safety tools are a great thing. I love your emphasis on the players having an input on shaping the world. Even within GM'd systems, that's a thing that I, as a GM, am starting to pivot stylistically towards as well. I find that the story gets more engaging and better and higher quality the more that I tag in my players to be able to have a heavier hand in shaping how the world is, what the narrative description of everything is. So with experiences like that in jumping around with these different systems, knowing the things that you do from the way that these mechanics are used, things like the safety tools, things like GM-less games, what skills or areas of knowledge have you picked up or accumulated from these games that you've taken to other tables? Like, how has doing all of these experimental games influenced you as a player or as a GM in like the more prolific, higher profile games?
I'm going to be honest. I feel like I've learned so much more. Not that I haven't learned from the games that I played, but I think I've learned so much more from the people that I've played with on these weird games more than I've learned from the games. Because I know from the games, just in general, like I've learned tricks on how to describe settings and like be a better descriptive narrator, be a better role player, and like explored some themes that I haven't yet explored in other games that I know that if that theme comes up in another game, I've now got some history with it. But in general, some of the role play that I've seen in the past year at the Good Berry Cafe table and seeing the creative things that the other players have done or how they've interpreted certain scenes or how they've dived into these characters, even a silly character, and what they've done with it is just so cool. I've learned so much from the guests that I've had at my table. With each new game, it's like I'm not only like learning a new system, but I'm also learning how to play with new people. I think I've only had a couple of repeats at the table so far, but I do try to do a different group every month. So a new set of friends every month, new people to play with, new people to learn how to play with, a new game, and then just seeing and learning from each other and how everyone adapts to the game has been so cool.
Absolutely. It's crazy how much just having a different perspective on the same rule set changes everything. We have on D&D Dark, so the general premise and setup of D&D Dark, it's a 5e campaign set in a fictional version of Victorian England.
Ooh, yeah.
And all of the player characters are the classic gothic horror monsters. So the team is the Frankenstein monster, the Wolfman, the Mummy, the Invisible Man, and the Phantom of the Opera. And the Phantom of the Opera is our bard. And for pure roleplay purposes and utility, he has elevated above and beyond the utility of a lot of spells that people normally write off completely. A thing that we have as kind of somewhat of a running gag, he has some of the most creative uses of the Unseen Servant spell. And frequently I've had listeners who are more involved in playing the games say, I've always written that spell off. That's always been kind of a terrible throwaway spell. It never occurred to me how fun and versatile it could be. Seeing it play out like that, it's mostly a thing for flavor and roleplay purposes. We've got the running joke of whenever he casts Unseen Servant, he's calling in some techs that are in show blacks. So it's led to a whole bunch of fun running visual gags and has been like a pivotal piece of his character and has been an important aspect of an otherwise throwaway spell that most people don't even think twice about. There's a fair amount of other interesting applications of spells that have popped up and have been used in unique and creative ways across the different players. Just seeing how different minds work is a great way to learn, and the people that you're playing with are so often the pivotal linchpin in what you're doing and in what you can learn from these different systems. Though that being said, it's interesting to see how the different systems incentivize different behaviors and force you to think in different ways. So, in the different games that you've played and in the systems that you've liked, the ones that you haven't liked, the ones that have forced you to think in unique and interesting ways, what do you think best fosters that experimental sense of play? Is there anything that you found that separates and elevates the really good games from the more forgettable ones that helps everybody lift each other up and empowers you to think in those different ways and try those different things out?
I think the best ones leave enough space for player agency. Because players will go off the rails, like always.
Oh, absolutely. So
allowing enough of a framework that there's a guideline, especially for a one session game, but not being too prescriptive. And I've played two loose games, and I've played two prescriptive games, and I've played ones that I think hit the sweet spot. But it's really allowing that, like what you said, allowing that element of play within a framework. For example, there was one game I was playing that was held in rounds, and each round was so specific as to what you did each round. And when I was reading it and I was pitching it to the group I was playing with for that month, I was like, I feel like this is not leaving us enough room to like get into our characters or actually do the playing part of role playing. So I remember offering a suggestion on how we could change the rules for the game to make it a little bit more fun, a little bit more inter-character back and forth. Because the way it was written, it was just like, oh, you roll dice and then that determines the outcome. And then you move on to the next round. And it was just a series of those steps. I was like, where is the interactivity between the players here? So we changed the rules a little bit. And because we made that tweak and we allowed for that interactivity and that little bit of player agency, it ended up being a really fun game. So I think that's also a reminder. You don't always have to play a game rules as written.
Absolutely.
Rule of cool. Yeah. If you think something's going to be more fun, there's nothing telling you, nothing there to stop you. So
a common refrain with D&D specifically is that rule number one of D&D is that the rules are subject to change at a moment's notice. You can ignore any rules that aren't working for you and add in any ones that will supplement and benefit your existence. Like, the rules are a suggestion.
Mm-hmm. It's all about telling the best story at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So to shift gears a little bit, where do you find these one-shots that you play for Good Berry Cafe, and what goes into the decision-making process? Do you field a couple and try to decide like, okay, we played a more rules light game this week, we'll do a more rules heavy game this week? Is it based on like, oh, I saw this thing online that really jumped out at me and had a really fun, funny title that I'm just itching to play, so we'll play this one. What is the process of deciding on those, and where do you find them? Is it mostly going through like game stores? Is it stuff that you scroll through online?
That's a funny question for this moment, because prior to this next upcoming episode of Good Berry Cafe, I think the process has been a total mess. As I mentioned, I started this show being inspired by the games that I had on itch.io in the bundle for racial justice that I bought over the pandemic. And I also bought a bundle for trans rights, and those are full of TTRPG games. Lots of them were one-shot group TTRPG games. It had a whole bunch of other games too, but like full of games, like hundreds of games I suddenly had access to by supporting these charities. So I started the show by just creating a Google Doc with a list of all of the games from these bundles that I wanted to play. And I divided it into categories. I had GM-less games, I had low prep, but with a GM games, and then I had high prep GM games, depending on like who was on the table that week. And I sorted all of those games out. And then I just slowly started adding to that Google Doc whenever I would discover new games, or I heard people talk about it, or I read something, or I saw something that caught my eye, like Goblin with a Fat Ass was a game that I added to the list after seeing it trend on Twitter or X. Sorry.
That's a favorite of one of my players.
Yeah, that was so fun. But I added that to the list when I saw it. So I have this giant list of game titles, and I approached the show prior to this upcoming episode that I would find the cast first. So I would just do a casting call or ask around and get friends or get anyone interested to join that month's game. And then the cast, we would all be thrown into a group chat together. And then we would look at the list of games. And first question was, do you want to do a GM list game? Or does anyone want a GM? And then we would decide from there as a group in a group chat. I liked that partially because it felt like everyone had a say in what they could play. And we all had some like discussions as to what we wanted out of the game that month. But I learned quickly that that's not the most efficient way. Because there were sometimes we weren't making the decision until like 2 days before the game. And so there wasn't much time to make promo images, anything like that. So I am switching it up for the next episode in that I am choosing the game myself ahead of time, and then I'm casting for that specific game for the month. And I know for this upcoming game, it is Bisexual Visibility Month. So I wanted to play a game that has a lot of bisexuals in it, and I'm doing an all bisexual cast. So I chose the game. I'm doing Visigoths versus Molgoths, which is going to be absolutely ridiculous. A war in the mall, 1990s Los Angeles.
That's fantastic. And
I'm so excited. I've been wanting to play this game for a while. And then I know for October, I'm going to choose ahead of time from my list a more spooky themed game in honor of Halloween. And then I'll go from there. But prior to that, it was just a group of people who don't know each other in a group chat choosing a game based on the title, pretty much. So it was a little messy, but now we're going to be a little bit more organized. But I do have a lot of games on that list. It's a huge list now. I just keep growing it every time I hear of something new or something that I want to role play or play as a player or a GM.
For anybody who wants to check out Good Berry Cafe and who is interested in seeing more of that show, what is the best way to discover the show? Would you recommend waiting for a live stream and trying to catch that? Would you recommend going back through the backlog of videos on the New Age Geeks YouTube channel? Are there any particularly strong episode? I would recommend that you start here as like our best showcase of who we are.
Yeah. So the best part about the format of this show is you can start at any time. So we are live the second Monday of the month, every month. And as you mentioned, there are previous episodes on YouTube on the New Age Geeks channel. And each episode, except for I think one or two, is just a one-shot game. There's been a couple times they've gone over and we've done two sessions. But I think the ones that highlight the spirit of the show, I think the best was our first episode when we made the transition to play indie TTRPG games was a game called Mage Against the Machine. That was a very interesting mechanic, but very powerful game. That was one of the two-parters. Before the Storm was a great example of a narrative-driven game with mechanics. And we talk through all of the mechanics of the game while we play too, so listeners can learn. Or if you're looking just for hilarious, like some of the most batshit ridiculous gameplay you've ever seen, I think Big Motherfucking Crab Truckers was insane. I was GMing that game and it was like the players were so good. And then Himbo Treasure Hunt was so funny. Like two, I think, of the funniest episodes, funniest games I've ever played in. So depending on what you're feeling, those are good, all good starting points.
That's fantastic. I love the titles of all of these one shots. So jumping off of that, that's all I have for you today. If you want to plug one more time, what all you're involved in, where we can find you, and what everybody should be looking forward to coming up.
So I'm Jem. I am the creative director of New Age Geeks, and I am the host of Good Berry Cafe, as well as an actual play performer, cosplayer, creative, all-time super nerd. You can find me on the New Age Geeks Twitch channel and YouTube channel, and that's new_age_geeks. Or my personal stuff is at Jemberee on most platforms. That's Jembore. Or Instagram, where I don't have that handle, is at Jimaginative. That's the one thing where I don't have the same handle. But that's Jimaginative, Jemaginative.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for stopping by to chat with me. Once again, everyone, this has been Jem from the New Age Geeks and from Good Berry Cafe. I have been Danger Dan Jurs from D&D Dark, and this has been Table Talk. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed what we brought to the table. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Table Talk, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Our guest this episode was Jem from the New Age Geeks show, Goodberry Cafe. Links to her show can be found in the episode description. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, reach out to us at dndarkpodcast@gmail.com. Our theme song and outro was created by Jeremy Vellucci. Check out more of his work on Instagram at @JeremyVellucci_wreckoftime. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time we have a guest take a seat at the table.
Welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for. And to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright. I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien. Premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to leave.